KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint. K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove. KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay. KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass. And KKQA, 88.1 FM in Akutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sidkenap to Castle Cape, today north winds 15 knots, seas 4 feet. Tonight northeast winds 15 knots, seas 3 feet. And Thursday, variable winds 10 knots, seas 2 feet. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, today variable winds 10 knots, seas 2 feet. Tonight, variable winds 10 knots, seas 2 feet. And Thursday, variable winds 10 knots, seas 2 feet. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarashef, today north winds 15 knots, seas 2 feet. Tonight, variable winds 10 knots, seas 3 feet. And Thursday, southeast winds 15 knots, seas 3 feet. Port Hyde and Nelson Lagoon, today variable winds 10 knots, seas 4 feet. Tonight, variable winds 10 knots, seas 2 feet. And Thursday, southeast winds 15 knots, seas 3 feet. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarashef. Today, variable winds 10 knots, seas 4 feet. Tonight, variable winds 10 knots, seas 5 feet. And Thursday, southeast winds 15 knots, seas 5 feet. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, partly sunny. Highs near 41, north winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, isolated showers after 4 a.m., mostly cloudy with lows around 36, northeast winds around 5 miles an hour, becoming calm after midnight. And Thursday, scattered showers, mainly between 7 and 10 a.m., mostly cloudy with highs near 42, southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Your tide predictions for the Pop-Off Island. There was a high tide at 12:04 a.m. at 6 feet 1 inch, a low at 6:21 a.m. at 2 feet, a high at 12:08 p.m. at 5 foot 1 inch, and a low at 6:09 at 1 foot 1 inch. Your sun rose at 6:46 this morning, and your sun will set at 10:31, bringing us up to 15 hours and 45 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Today on KUCB News, the Alaska House will vote today on corporate tax changes that could generate millions for the state. And a longtime Unalaskan recently published his second book. All of that and more coming up.
Support comes from GCI, introducing GCI Plus Internet and Mobile to help customers stream, work, and connect without limits. Terms and conditions apply. Details at gci.com/gci-plus.
You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. It's Wednesday, May 7th, 2025. I'm Sophia Stewart Rossi with some local news. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski and two other senators, Jeff Merkley of Oregon and Brian Schatz of Hawaii, have demanded urgent action from the Secretary of Health and Human Services. In a letter to Robert Kennedy Jr., they say the Indian Health Service is unable to deliver quality health care services to American Indians and Alaska Natives as required by federal law. The senator said staffing shortages and a civilian hiring freeze have made matters worse for an already struggling system. They say not only medical services are in jeopardy, but also billing, appointments, lab work, and other essential tasks, even accreditation for IHS facilities. In their letter, the senators also called on Kennedy to halt any further cutbacks without first engaging in meaningful tribal consultation, which has not taken place. They cited a high mortality rate for most major health issues comparable to what the general U.S. population experienced in 1944. Murkowski, a Republican, is chair of the Senate Indian Affairs Committee. Schatz, a Democrat, is vice chair. Berkeley is also a Democrat and the ranking member of the Senate Interior Environment Appropriations Committee. The Alaska House is scheduled to vote today on a change to corporate income taxes that could raise millions of dollars for the state. Lawmakers say it would generate cash as the state faces hundreds of millions of dollars in deficits and an uncertain financial future. It's also tied to funding for two key elements of an education bill that's pending on the governor's desk. Lawmakers are pitching it as a tax on large out-of-state businesses. So what does it actually do? Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports.
Senate Bill 113 would change the way companies calculate their state corporate income taxes. Here's how Senator Bill Willikowski, an Anchorage Democrat, explained it to House lawmakers at a recent hearing.
If you buy a Netflix subscription, instead of Netflix claiming the sale occurred at its headquarters in Los Gatos, California, or at its server farm in Texas, the sale is deemed to have occurred where the service is delivered under this bill in Alaska.
And for companies who do a majority of their Alaska business over the internet, the bill would change the corporate income tax formula to look primarily at sales. The tax code currently takes companies' Alaska payroll and property into account. That means lower taxes for companies that don't have much of a physical presence in the state. Willikowski says that means companies aren't paying their fair share for state infrastructure like roads, bridges, and ports.
And guess who's picking up the tab for that? Alaskan consumers, Alaskan businesses. That is not fair to our brick-and-mortar companies. And in fact, I would argue that's taking Alaskans' permanent fund dividend checks. That's taking money out of Alaskans' pockets because these out-of-state corporations are not paying what they should be paying.
The bill enjoyed broad support in the Senate, where it passed 16-4 with crossover support from two Republicans in the minority caucus. The bill would only apply to so-called C corporations, which are typically large businesses. Representative Jamie Allard, an Eagle River Republican, says she's concerned the bill could result in higher prices for Alaska consumers.
I think it's going to impact people greatly. I feel like this is a hidden cost to Alaskans that the government doesn't want to come out full in transparency.
At least 36 other states from Alabama to Hawaii have made similar changes to their tax codes. Willikowski said he didn't think Alaska was a large enough market to make a substantial difference on prices. And he said across the U.S., no matter your state's corporate income tax system, a Netflix subscription is the same price. And at least a few House minority Republicans on the House Finance Committee agreed. Representative Jeremy Bynum, a Ketchikan Republican, says he doesn't expect the bill to result in across-the-board price increases.
Whether it's Netflix or some other digital company, that when they're paying taxes, they build that into their taxing or into their pricing structure overall. So by us putting this in, could it cause prices to go up? Maybe. Maybe in the big scheme of things. But will they have a Alaska tax? I don't believe so.
Another minority Republican, Fairbanks Representative Will Stapp, said he thought taxing out-of-state businesses would level the playing field for Alaska businesses who are looking to compete with them.
Where I live in Fairbanks, everyone has seen these small businesses go out of business and being replaced by big national chains. And perhaps if we didn't tax our local businesses unfavorably compared to the ones who don't live in here, fewer of them would go out of business.
The state's tax division says the bill could raise $25 to $65 million. If House lawmakers greenlight the bill, it would be the first significant revenue bill to pass this year, as lawmakers reckon with large deficits. Money from the bill would go towards incentive grants for school districts, rewarding student reading performance, and bolster career and technical education. Lawmakers tied the two programs to the tax bill because of those looming deficits. The bill has already passed the Senate, and if lawmakers in the House approve it, it will go to Governor Mike Dunleavy. It's not clear whether he'd sign it. His press office says Dunleavy will make a decision if it reaches his desk. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
Longtime Unalaskan and independent author Randy Batten recently published his second book, The Golden Arrow. It's a Western historical drama that touches on the themes of greed, revenge, and standing up for one's community. Batten published his first book, a time-traveling adventure called Night on Time, in 2023. He has a second edition of that story out now. KUCB's Andy Lusk sat down with Batten to talk about those projects and a new one coming up. Here's part of their conversation.
You've been a local author for a while. In fact, I think you interviewed here in the studio last time.
Yeah, I did. It was probably, I don't know, a year ago now?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Maybe a year, maybe even a little more.
And that was for a book that you wrote in, I believe, 2023 called Night on Time. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, that was my first book.
And you've made some updates to it, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, yeah. I've added chapter, embellished some of the characters a little more, did some other editing, that some other mistakes that, you know, there's always mistakes. That's why you have first editions, second editions. And so I kind of did a little rewrite of it. And it's got like, I don't know, 8,000 to 10,000 more words than the original did.
Well, tell me about this new chapter. What's going on there?
Well, the new chapter is actually, it's a little bit more at the end. A lot more activity between my three main characters in a kind of a battle scene at the end, and how they all came back together after being kind of separated throughout most of the book, or a lot of the book. They'd gotten separated, doing their own things, pursuing the bad guy in their own ways or whatever, you know, but they all end up at the same place at the same time. And so that's the gist of the new chapters, is that, you know, just a lot more action at the end of the book.
So you've got another one. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is a little bit shorter book. It's a novella. It started out as a short story way back when I was probably in my 20s, late 20s, you know, when I wrote this. And it was the only short story, one of two, I guess, that survived being stored in my storage unit down in Washington when I moved here to Dutch Harbor 24 years ago. It's just been sitting, and I reread it. I go, you know what? I can expand this into something. It's basically a story about a young Native American chief struggling with personal loss and dreams of revenge for various reasons on his village and his family, and the vicious pursuit by a relentless adversary that enters into the story. It's the story of greed and the expanding of the American West and the love of nation and one's people, and with a subtle sprinkling of guiding spirits in it, a little bit of spirituality. Mm-hmm. Didn't want that to overwhelm the book, but introduce that in various ways, you know, as guides.
What's the name of the book?
Oh, did I not say that?
Not yet.
It's called The Golden Arrow.
Oh.
And the reason behind that is he uses, the chief decides to use what the people mostly the miners and stuff like that, they're coming in and encroaching in the native lands and causing all the damage to their people and villages and things.
Miners, you know, like coal miners?
Gold miners.
Gold miners, okay.
Yeah, and so, you know, he chooses to use the gold as a weapon.
And you talked about greed being a central theme.
The main bad guy is, you know, definitely probably the greediest individual you'll ever read about. And he'll go to any lengths to get what he thinks he deserves. And that's basically it. He thinks he deserves everything, and that it was all his, and anybody else is in his way. He's heard the rumors about golden arrows being used. They don't even know if this Indian is real, according to the newspapers and stuff. It's almost like a myth. And he's on a mission to find the Indian, to find the gold, if it exists.
In your stories, you have these very... these villains that just evoke these very visceral feelings. Like, these are mean guys. So
yeah.
Tell me about that. What, how do you come up with your villains?
I just base them on myself.
Oh
yeah. Yeah. No, I just try to think of, like, you know, I want people to hate them so that when bad things happen to them, if they do, that everybody is happy about that. If the guy is only so bad guy, you know, he gets injured or whatever happens to him, or gets some sort of punishment, you know, did he deserve that? You know, I don't know. But if he's a really bad guy, no matter what happens to him, he deserves whatever he's getting.
What else would you like us to know about The Golden Arrow?
It inspired me to start writing it as a book and rethink it too, when I was, as I learned about how the Aleuts were treated out on the islands by the Russians, and then kind of how we treated them during World War II. You know, there's a history of kind of just, you know, they weren't treated fairly, weren't treated necessarily nicely. And then I always had a soft spot in my heart for that. And so I just wanted to give some life to this Native American character and try to, and his village and you know all the things that were happening to him and their side of it a little bit.
You are out here in Unalaska again after a little bit of time away. As you're continuing to write, you know, I understand you have a new project coming up. What are some of your inspiration points from out here?
So much. This is the Alaska.
He's got the notes out.
Yeah. This is the Alaska. Oh, you probably hear that. Sorry about the noise on the flipping of the
it's
pages.
Okay.
The Alaska Bone. I'm excited about this. It's an archaeology thriller. It's the first book of a new series. Like I said, it takes place everywhere from Dutch Harbor to Anchorage to Juneau and Port Chatham and the ghost town of Portlock. And Dutch Harbor is painted all over this thing. I mean, whenever they're and I'm using it now that I'm back in Dutch Harbor. I'm getting all new inspiration, walking to work and back every day. I'm looking at the mountains. I'm looking at the ocean splashing in the early morning when it's still dark out and the cliffs and everything. And that's right where I'm at in my writing right now is my character is in situations like that. This is bringing it all home. You know, I've been to Juneau and I've been to Anchorage and I've been very close to Portlock. It's too scary to go to land your feet on there. If anybody knows the story of Portlock.
I don't. Can you tell it?
I can tell you a little bit about it.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's a town that was established way back. I can't remember right now the name of the, it's in my book, but the name of the captain that, or Portlock. Portlock is, it was the captain's name. And over the years, it had a native population to begin with, and over the years it became a little bit, became a fishing village. There was a processing plant there, various the post office was even established there finally, but people started disappearing and bodies started getting found torn apart, you know, very gruesomely, and you know all sorts of reports of sightings of strange creatures, and you know it was blamed on every type of everything from Bigfoot to different Native American spirits, but overnight the town basically vanished. I mean, some people even packed up in the middle of the night and under the cover of darkness moved over to a town further away. Now, modern day, they say that was because a modern road had been built into that town, and so it was easier to access, and everybody from the town thought that would be better to live there. Well, that would be fair to believe, except they didn't do it gradually. Everybody moved suddenly and left most of their stuff there in Portlock, at least so legend has it. So there you go. That plays a role in my story.
When was that?
That was in the 40s. I think they actually abandoned it, the town.
Where in Alaska is that?
It's near Port Chatham, which is the Kenai Peninsula.
Okay.
Yeah, way at the very, very tip of the Kenai Peninsula. Pretty wild out there. Yeah, and that plays perfect into my story that has, you know, I can't give it too much away on that, but trust me, the ending of the story is going to blow you away as far as you're not going to see it coming.
What's the name of this book?
This book is The Alaskan Bone.
That was KUCB's Andy Lusk speaking with local author Randy Batten. You can read more about Batten's work on his webpage, bookstoread.com. This interview and a transcript are up on our website. That's at kucb.org. Let's take a look at KUCB's community calendar this week. The Vet Clinic is at the Burma Road Chapel this week till Monday. For appointments, call 907-359-2707 or email elutionvet@gmail.com. APIA will be hosting their third annual Substance Misuse Symposium. The three-day conference will take place starting tomorrow through Saturday at the Grand Aleutian Hotel's McCushion Room. The symposium will also feature mental health first aid training for first responders and teens, along with community sessions on substance misuse, stigma, and treatment. Community open mic will be this Friday evening starting 7 o'clock till 9 at the Burma Road Chapel. Performers of all kinds, including poets, storytellers, musicians, and comedians, are welcome. Coffee and light refreshments will be served at this all-ages event. The The Museum of the Aleutians will host a spring story time this Saturday morning at 11:30. The event will have spring-themed stories and activities for all ages. Also on Saturday afternoon, the Museum of the Aleutians will have a free egg carton flowers craft at 1 p.m. This drop-in program is for all ages and features materials to create colorful flowers using egg cartons and paint. The Museum of the Aleutians will also host a volunteer opportunity for high school students and community members on Saturday and Sunday from noon to 4 in the afternoon each day. The museum offers a chance to help preserve local history at the museum with no registration required. For more information on this week's events, head to our community calendar at KUCB.org. That's the news from Unalaska. I'm Sophia Stewart-Rossi, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at KUCB.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.
It's time now for your community window here on KSDP. Starting with job openings, the QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, an environmental assistant, and an administrative assistant. The Shimigan Corporation of Sandpoint is hiring a bartender. The Palouf Harbor Tribe is hiring a tribal environmental coordinator. The City of Sandpoint is hiring a part-time pull-tab sales assistant, a full-time temporary public works laborer, and a full-time temporary harbor office assistant. The King Cove Department of Public Safety is looking to hire a certified police officer. Interested applicants can contact the King Cove PD at 907-497-2210. EATS is hiring a behavioral health trainee and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They're also hiring a clinical information clerk for King Cove, a community health aide for False Pass and Nelson Lagoon, and a clinical information clerk/janitor for Cold Bay. Community announcements. There will be a meeting of the Borough Assembly tomorrow, May 8th at 2 p.m. As always, you can tune into that live here on KSDP. And that's all for the community window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 907-383-5737, or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also, look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
This program was brought to you by Jim and Shirley Brown's Apartments, located in Sandpoint above Trident Seafoods and the Boat Harbor, featuring two-bedroom apartments on a month-to-month basis. For more information, call Jim Brown at 386-6050.
Yeah. ashamed. How we break each other's hearts and cause each other pain. How we take each other's love without thinking anymore, forgetting to give back. Isn't it a pity? Some things take so long. Surrounds us. Now is
hide, find a corner where I can hide. Silent footsteps crowding me, sudden darkness, but I can see. No sugar tonight in my coffee, no sugar tonight in my tea, no sugar to stand beside me, no sugar to run with me.
When you start to sink, I spawn. start to sink as far. The music is over, my ears start to ring. Just give me the signal, I know what you mean. Please check on me in while I'm checking you out. My tongue is just wagging, sweet taste in my mouth. We'll go to your place, I love you in outer space. Sweet taste in my mouth, we'll go to your place. I love you in outer space.
You're listening to 830 AM KSDP Radio and K201DA King Cove, Alaska. Check us out online at www.apradio.org.
coming along.
Man, but my patience is real.